Let's bring on Dr. Tim Shorn so he can do some talking. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. We're going to talk about recent developments in the Middle East. Tim Shorn, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
Let's start with just the significance of the past week or so as we look at U.S. airstrikes in Syria and the Trump presidency, and just kind of put it into context for us as far as, you know, how serious has the situation become just in the last week?
Sure. And I think that that's an important question. How serious is this? And I think that we have to back up a little bit to before the airstrikes occurred and ask ourselves, why did President Trump and his administration feel that it was necessary to carry out the airstrike? What were their goals? And where are we going to go from here? Now, clearly, the use of chemical weapons represents a strong taboo in international society. The international community has taken very positive steps forward over the last three decades to eliminate not just the use of chemical weapons, but also the manufacturing and stockpile of chemical weapons. And whenever they are used, it raises real red flags for members of the international community for a couple of reasons. One is chemical weapons are very indiscriminate. They are not going to be able to tell the difference between combatant and non-combatant. And second, they represent something that is frightful in the minds of all people. And it's not something that which use we want to take lightly. Now, we need to qualify that. Even as we look back to World War I, chemical weapons have represented just a very small part of casualties in conflict. In World War I, it was less than 5%. And even in Syria, with the two attacks that we're most familiar with, it represents less than 2%, perhaps even less than 1% of the number of casualties. But there's always a concern that if a country uses chemical weapons once, they're going to be able to use them again, and especially if they see something as an existential threat, the gloves are going to come off and they're going to use chemical weapons more. And we don't want that to occur. At the same time, we have to keep in mind, we have to put it in perspective, the chemical weapons represent a very small part of the casualties in conflict. Now, I think that what we saw with President Trump was that, like President Bush, George H.W. Bush in 1992 with Somalia, seeing the suffering civilians, the dead civilians, was his CNN moment, the realization that I need to respond as the president of the United States. While I do believe in America first, I also understand that there is a leadership role for the United States. We have to respond. Now, the question becomes, what do we hope to achieve? And that is a lingering question, because clearly the cruise missile strike did not take that airbase offline, did not destroy the planes, the aircraft that were stationed there, because they have been in action again. And the question becomes then, did it deliver successfully that very specific message of thou shalt not use chemical weapons in this conflict? So, you know, there's a lot that we have to unpack there. We don't know where this is going to go yet, and we have to keep chemical weapons, as frightening as they are, in perspective.
How significant is it that this is occurring within the first 100 days of any U.S. president's administration?
Well, that's also a very good question, because clearly countries and leaders who have disagreements with the United States, who want to assert themselves, are going to look at how an administration responds to a crisis, to being pushed in a corner, so to speak, within that first 100 days. And how the administration responds is going to set the tone for the longer term. So in the case of President Assad, kind of challenging President Trump. I think initially President Assad figured, look, I have my patron, President Putin. I have cover. The Trump administration has made it clear that they are not interested in getting involved in Syria. So I think I can do anything I want to put an end to the civil war, level of brutality, level of indiscriminate attacks are not going to be an issue. And so I would guess that President Assad and probably President Putin assumed we can take the gloves off. We have a freedom to do whatever we want. And I think that perhaps President Trump had sent that message. Well, now, since it did occur within the first 100 days, how President Trump responds to that provocation and attack is going to be very important for the next year, 2 years, 4 years of his administration.
Hmm. Is there a residual from, you know, is there a legacy from the Obama administration, or are there ground rules that were laid in the Obama administration that are being challenged and shifted at this point, or are we seeing a continuation in some ways of American policy?
Well, that's interesting to think about as well. We know that when President Assad used chemical weapons about 4 years ago, the years run together in my mind now, that President Obama had said that the use of chemical weapons would be a red line. President Assad crossed the red line. The question became, how would the United States, how would the Obama administration respond? Well, a couple of things happened. First, President Obama could not get Congress to go along with an attack on Syria in response to the chemical weapons. Second, Putin stepped in and said, I will oversee, the government of Russia will oversee the removal of chemical weapons from Assad's arsenal, from the theater of war, so there is no need for the United States to respond. Well, we move ahead a few years, and now all of a sudden, the question becomes in Assad's mind, in Putin's mind, is there a red line? Do we have a free hand to do as we wish? What would the Trump administration do in response, given the signals it had sent both during the campaign and in the first couple of months of the administration? And so I think what we see is some question based on what had occurred during the Obama administration, what constitutes a red line? The second question, what is the Trump administration going to do in Syria, given his earlier statements? So in some way, it is a continuation of some ambiguity, perhaps even some ambivalence of American policy towards Syria. And it represents, again, that traditional pushing of the buttons to test a new president in his first 100 days.
What would represent a lack of ambivalence? What would represent a strong, clear policy?
I think it would have to go back again to the Obama administration, where not just President Obama, but also Congress worked together to assert the thoughts of the United States that we will not tolerate the use of chemical weapons. And I think then we have to jump ahead now to this period where President Trump, working with Congress, has to assert the idea that we will not tolerate the use of chemical weapons. What all of that discussion ignores, though, is the continuing humanitarian catastrophe that is the Syrian civil war. Over half of the population of Syria has been displaced. Over 5 million, probably closer to 6 or 7 million, have been pushed outside of their borders. We still see a humanitarian catastrophe. We still see essentially a thug running the Syrian government who will sow the seeds for another generation or two of extremism. So while we focus on the chemical weapons, we're still missing perhaps even the larger picture of what's happening in Syria.
So if American airstrikes send a certain message, they need to be followed up by communication between the executive branch and Congress and a clear policy going forward. Is that?
That would be very helpful. That would be that would demonstrate that the president is able to outline a policy And it's a policy that he's going to be able to carry through on because he has the Congress behind him, who is going to be responsible also for authorizing the use of force, for coming up with the funds for any type of policy implementation, and that it is not just a policy that can come and go as a president's mind changes or as presidents move in and out of the White House, that this very much represents a bipartisan policy of the United States. And I think until we see that, and strong communication between the two branches and strong communications emanating from the White House, the State Department, the Defense Department, then we are going to see President Assad and President Putin and perhaps others continuing to challenge what the United States policy may or may not be.
How important is that role of Russia at this point?
It's interesting, and I go back to something that Secretary of State Tillerson commented shortly after the attack occurred, that either the Russians are incompetent or they are complicit, because the Russian administration, the Russian government, had essentially taken the lead to remove the chemical weapons from Assad's arsenal. Second, the Russians are co-located on that particular airbase with the Syrians. So either they weren't paying attention or they knew all along that this chemical attack was going to occur. And I have certainly seen some reports, as you and others probably have too, that it seems that the Russian government granted permission for this strike to be carried out, which means that we have a country that is significantly more important and more powerful, certainly not as important and powerful as they once were, but still important and powerful, trying to challenge the President of the United States. And how the United States responds to this particular provocation is going to help determine where Russia is going to challenge the United States in the future, how aggressive it feels it can become with its policy, whether in the Middle East, whether in the Baltic states, whether in Ukraine. So this is an important moment for President Trump and his administration to set the tone for the relationship with Russia in the future.
So what do we look for in the coming days and weeks that's going to signal which direction this will head?
That is the $64,000 question.
Right.
Because if this was a one-off response, then essentially Assad knows he can do anything. He can prosecute the war in any way he sees fit. Putin and the Russian government are going to believe that they can start to assert themselves elsewhere, perhaps in the Persian Gulf, certainly in the Mediterranean, perhaps up in the Baltic states. And so we have to, you know, the government of the United States is going to have to figure out where its red lines are and what it is willing to do if someone crosses those red lines. And either publicly or privately, they are going to have to communicate that with governments like in Moscow, like in Damascus, like in Tehran, like in Pyongyang, and let other countries know where our red lines are. At the same time, we need to be communicating very clearly with our allies to ensure that we're not just acting alone and that we have the force of a larger community working with us. And this is going to be an important next another 100 days for the Trump administration.
Dr. Tim Shorn is an associate professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. We will continue to have you back, Dr. Shorn, as we sort of watch this unfold, and you can help put it in context for us. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I'll be happy to come back.